The 1 Corinthians 12 Exegetical Guide is a premium collection resource produced by the Be United in Christ Outreach Ministry. The mission of the Be United in Christ Outreach Ministry is to teach and promote Christian unity in accordance with God's Word. Genuine, visible love and unity in the body of Christ honors the Lord and proclaims His gospel to the world. Please enjoy this wonderful resource, titled The 1 Corinthians 12 Exegetical Guide, and continue exploring the important topic of Christian unity in the Word of God and on our website, beunitedinchrist.com. A note on bonus files. We've provided PDFs of certain sections of this book in the download of the audiobook. We'll highlight those sections as we reach them. The download is also linked to in your order confirmation from the Be United in Christ bookstore. Be United in Christ, Exegetical Guide, 1 Corinthians 12, The Working of Unity. Every day we work and play because of the amazing interaction of our body's numerous different parts. More than 200 kinds of cells create four types of tissue that form five vital organs, as well as the 650 muscles, 206 bones, and 100 billion nerves that work together in 10 different systems to allow us to think, breathe, circulate blood, digest food, and reproduce. God assigns each part a particular role to bless and serve the unified whole. Without this diverse unity, there would be no life or health. The same is true of the body of Christ. God assigns every Christian a distinct function in Christ's church, and the Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts. Introduction. Corinth was a bustling port city of 80,000 to 100,000 people located on the narrow land bridge between northern and southern Greece. Trade ships and travelers came to cross the isthmus. Pilgrims visited the temples of Aphrodite, Apollo, Poseidon, and many other gods. Tourists attended the Isthmian Games and other athletic events. This thriving, recently rebuilt city was at once the New York, Los Angeles, and Las Vegas of the ancient world. The Apostle Paul moved to Corinth from Athens at the end of his second missionary journey, sometime around AD 50 or 51. There, he made tents, preached the gospel, taught God's word, and established the church. Acts 18, 1-18, 1 Corinthians 3, 6, 4, 15. After 18 months, Paul returned to Antioch, but still corresponded with the Corinthian Christians. Two of his letters are preserved in the Bible, and they allude to a previous narrative flow. In chapters 12 to 14, Paul addressed the Corinthians' questions about spiritual things, verse 1. Before their conversion, they had been led astray in various ways to speechless idols, verse 2. Now, however, the apostle made known to them crucial truths about this controversial subject, beginning with the fact that only by the Holy Spirit can someone say Jesus is Lord in a saving way, verse 3. True spirituality is indicated by a sincere, submissive acknowledgement of Jesus' lordship, which indicates the Spirit's regenerating work and indwelling presence in a true believer. However, the fact that every Christian has the Holy Spirit does not mean that they all have identical spiritual gifts, verses 4 to 11. The same Spirit gives various gifts, the same Lord assigns various ministries, and the same God works various effects, verses 4 to 6. The Spirit gives different believers different ways to express His presence so that everyone benefits, verse 7. For example, there is the word of wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, effecting miracles, prophecy, distinguishing spirits, and various kinds of tongues and their interpretation, verses 8 to 10. It is one and the same Spirit who works these things, and He decides which gifts to give which individuals. Verse 11. Preparing the Sermon, 1 Corinthians 12, The Working of Unity. Passage Details, 1 Corinthians 12, 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. Now concerning marks a change in topics as Paul addresses another of the Corinthians' questions, 7:1, 25, 8:1, 12:1, 16:1, and 12. Spiritual gifts. The original Greek text simply says spirituals, which broadly means spiritual things. Most commentators agree, however, that in the context of 1 Corinthians 12-14, it refers to spiritual gifts. This interpretation is reflected in the NASB translation. Its form can be either masculine, spiritual people, 12:15, 3:1, 14:37, or neuter, spiritual things, 9:11, 14:1, 15:46. The latter is more likely here in light of its usage in 14:1 and its treatment in chapter 12. Both the term and the context suggest a close connection between spirituals and the Holy Spirit. Brethren implies a family relationship. Paul uses this intimate, endearing term 39 times in this epistle. Unaware. Paul addresses ignorance often, Romans 1:13, 11, 25, 1 Corinthians 10:1, 2 Corinthians 1:8, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Sermon manuscript for your use. Introduction. One of the great joys of parenting is giving gifts to your kids, but one of the great griefs of parenting is watching them fight over what you give them. Give me a turn. You're not doing it right. It's mine. You broke it. It's incredibly discouraging to hear our children argue over our blessings. How tragic, then, when Christians argue over God's gifts and quarrel over our Heavenly Father's blessings. God gave us the Lord's Supper, and we divide over how to celebrate and interpret it. God has given us the hope of heaven, and we splinter over end-time details. God gives us music to praise Him harmoniously, and we wage worship wars between generations and denominations. Perhaps most tragically of all, we debate and divide over the spiritual gifts God gives for the express purpose of uniting Christians. God gives spiritual gifts to unify and edify His Son's body. Yet our strife makes it seem as though the body of Christ has an autoimmune disorder, attacking, afflicting, and tearing itself down. These things should not be. When Christians strive, the Spirit grieves, as Paul admonished the Ephesians 4:30-5:2. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us. Kindness, unity, love. These are the Spirit's priorities for Christians. So disagreements over spiritual gifts or any other non-gospel issue must not be allowed to separate true believers. This morning we're going to examine a chapter of Scripture that addresses the gifts of the Spirit from the perspective of Christian unity and love. The church at Corinth had questions about spiritual gifts, especially speaking in tongues. Paul couched his response in the context of their confession of Jesus as Lord, their diverse unity based on God's gifting, and their mutual dependence on one another as members of the body of Christ. Thus, 1 Corinthians 12 has three main sections. 1. An inspired confession, 12:1-3. 2. A diverse unity, 12:4-11. 3. A united body, 12:12-31. Paul's three-part message to the Corinthians is just as vital today. 1. The true test for the presence of the Holy Spirit in a person is not tongues or any other spiritual gift or experience, but rather a genuine confession of Jesus as Lord, which the Spirit must inspire. 2. The various spiritual gifts come from the same divine source and are distributed to individual believers by the Spirit for the common good of the Christian community. 3. Every member of Christ's body is essential and dependent on the church's other members, so esteeming, serving, and loving one another are more important than any gift. To sum up the chapter in a sentence, all who profess Jesus as Lord have the Holy Spirit and must use their diverse spiritual gifts for the common good of the church as they love one another in unity. So please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Exploring the Classics, 1 Corinthians 12, The Working of Unity. Introduction. Christians have a proud heritage. Many of history's noblest souls, brightest minds, and most eloquent tongues devoted their great gifts to Christ and left a rich legacy to His church. Reading Scripture through their eyes offers fresh perspectives only visible from outside the vantage point of our own age. Hearing their voices produces fewer echoes than listening only to modern messages and often reveals missed notes and forgotten melodies. The selections in this section represent more than 1,500 years of reflection on 1 Corinthians 12 and can help us learn, apply, and share its crucial truths today. First is a compilation of insights gleaned from 15 centuries of classic commentaries and sermons on this text. The authors range from John Chrysostom, the premier expositor of the early church, to Charles Spurgeon, the most prominent preacher of the 19th century. They include Arminian scholars, Adam Clark, Calvinist theologians, Charles Hodge, Oxford professors, H. L. Gouge, Protestant reformers, John Calvin, Presbyterian ministers, Matthew Henry, Anglican rectors, William Burkitt, and Swiss pastors, Frederick Godet, who are all united by their shared commitment to faithfully communicate God's Word. 12. The Working of Unity. Christian unity is vitally important to God, so the three persons of the Trinity work together to reconcile sinners and restore what we've ruined. Unity is important to God the Father, who sent His Son to die on the cross to reconcile sinners to Himself and to one another. Ephesians 2:13-16. It is important to God the Son, who, the night before He died, commanded His disciples to love one another and prayed that they would all be one. John 13:34, 15:12, 17, 17:11, 20-21. And it is important to God the Holy Spirit, whom the Father and Son sent to establish, promote, and maintain Christian unity. The Spirit who established, protected, and preserved love-based unity in the early church still actively sanctifies and equips believers and consolidates communities to unify the church today. The Unifying Spirit in the Early Church. After Jesus commissioned His disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28:19, He ordered them by the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:2, to stay in Jerusalem until they were clothed with power from on high, Luke 24:49, see also Acts 1:4-5. In fact, His parting words to the apostles were, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." Acts 1:8. The apostles had lived and ministered with Jesus for years, and had performed miracles in His name, yet even they were powerless to complete the Great Commission on their own. It is the Spirit who empowers, sanctifies, and unites Christ's followers to accomplish their Lord's mission. As the disciples waited for the Holy Spirit, they, all with one mind, were devoting themselves to prayer, Acts 1:14. Their thoughts and prayers were unified because they looked to Scripture to understand what was happening and how to respond. The Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David that Judas would betray Jesus and would need to be replaced, Acts 1:16, see also Psalm 41:9, 69:25, 109:8. So they all accepted this without hesitation and acted accordingly, Acts 1:16-26. God's Spirit unites God's people around God's Word. The Bible is the inspired, inerrant, authoritative basis for what Christians must believe and do. Heeding it enables believers to be single-minded and same-purposed. Revealing God's truth and will is a critical way the Spirit established, protected, and preserved unity in the early church. Thank you for listening to this audio recording from our premium collection. We believe that promoting unity among God's people is an act of obedience to God's will and an act of love for your Christian brothers and sisters. The gospel is most clear to those who are lost when Christians are visibly united together in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to explore more Bible-based resources, please visit beunitedinchrist.com. There you will find 1. Our basic resources, which includes book summaries, exegetical guides, and Bible passage collections. 2. A premium collection of books available as audiobooks, ebooks, and beautiful print books. 3. Videos and PowerPoint presentations that help you to understand our ministry and our many resources. 4. And an easy-to-use mobile app. Your life will be blessed as you make biblical Christian unity a priority and honor God by obeying His will in your interactions with other believers. Visit beunitedinchrist.com to learn more. This has been a recording of the 1 Corinthians 12 Exegetical Guide. Text copyright 2020 by Be United in Christ Outreach Ministry. Audio recording copyright 2020 by the Be United in Christ Outreach Ministry. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced without permission.